Well, good morning. I am the Max that Daniel talked about, just to clear the air. I'm not just a guy named Max who saw his moment and is seizing it. But in a way, I am. So good morning. Good to be with you. My name is Max. I'm the college young adult pastor here at Grace. And it is so good to be together. I wanted to first just say thank you so much to everybody who brought food and items to donate to the UT Tyler Food Pantry. That giant concrete ping pong table that we have in our commons is being put to good use this morning. It is holding a lot of donations, and we're really grateful for you to do that. So thank you. Those will be picked up today, but also our college and young adult ministry has its Monday night gathering tomorrow night in this auditorium, and we'll have a drop-off if you missed your opportunity and you want to. We'll have the drop-off table tomorrow night ready for you also. Okay, we're going to be in Genesis 12. That's that first book in the Bible. If you want to open there, 12 chapters in, you'll find Genesis 12. And we're starting in verse 1. So let's dive in together. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Genesis 12:1 starts off with these words. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go." And I want to warn you that I'm going to camp out here for a little bit. The Lord said to Abram, "Go," because I think this is an important part for us to realize this morning. God wants to take Abram from where he is to where God wants him to be. Pay attention to that. God wants to take Abram from where he is to where God wants him to be. This is such a consistent theme all throughout Scripture, and it jumped out at me as I started thinking about the Great Commission, right? We talk about that a lot at Grace Community Church, being and making disciples. The Great Commission to make disciples starts with what? Go. We'll try again. There's more opportunities coming. It starts with go. Go and make disciples. Jesus, when gathering his disciples, starts with, this one's tricky, I don't want to trick y'all, but let's try. He starts with what? No, he does. He starts with, "Follow me. Follow me." Some of y'all are confident. Go. He starts with, "Follow me." He's moving them from somewhere that they are to somewhere that he wants them to be. When God speaks to the prophet Isaiah, he says, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am, send me." So much of Scripture and so many storylines of God moving in his people truly does start with a sending, a follow me, a going. There's movement taking place. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go." All throughout Scripture, he tells his people to go tell somebody something. He says, "Go tell." And then he has something that he wants his people to tell. Not just prophets, but people who've been healed. People whose lives have been changed by Jesus. He'll say, "Go tell." I am usually so concerned with what he wants to say that I actually end up missing the first word. Have you ever done that in your relationship with God? That you were so concerned with what he has to say, which is a good thing. We should want to know what it is that God has to say. That it's almost as if we miss the first word because we don't what? Go. We don't go. This is the conversation that I'm having with my 4, almost 5-year-old all the time. Anytime I'm asking him to be obedient to something. He says 3 words. It's profound. He says, "Yeah, but Dada." Yeah, but Dada. And it's like I literally just told him what I wanted him to do. Hey, Jones, will you go outside and water the plant? Yeah, but Dada, it's almost like he said no, right? We do that so much in our relationship with God, that he has something that he tells us, he commands us to something, and we say, okay, yeah, but Dada, can we just talk about it a little bit more? When the first thing he's asking us to do is go. Or I think about my wife saying, dinner's ready, and sometimes I'll say, okay, and nothing will change. Like, dinner's ready means get in the kitchen. Like, come to the table. It is time to eat. And I'll say, okay. And we do this in our relationship with God. Something that he's calling us to, has led us to, commanded us to. And we say, okay. And we don't move. We don't budge. As we're going through Genesis, he already told Noah to move. He told him to build an ark, right? He's getting ready to tell Moses to move. And best of all, what we read today is our glimpse at a plan that he has to move by sending Jesus. Think about that just for a second, what we're talking about, the going nature of what God calls us to. He came here. He took on flesh and came to us. He sent his son to die on the cross for our sin. He moved towards his relationship with us to restore and redeem. And he is calling us to go. Look at this glimpse. Let's go back to the verse. Look at this glimpse at the plan that God has to move. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God wants Abram to go from where he is to where God wants him to be. And I believe that that is the same thing that he wants for you and for me this morning. I believe that's the same thing he wants for each of us each day. So for each of us, it causes us to have to wrestle with, where are you and what is it that God is sending you towards, and will you go? Are you gonna, yeah, but Dada? Are you gonna, okay, and then leave this room? Or would you expect that God is gonna place something on your heart this morning, somewhere that you are, and somewhere that he wants you to go, and then will you respond and go? Where we are, I think, I'm not trying to sum up everybody's life in one quote, but this is a guess that I have, is that where we are is busy building our kingdom, and where he wants us is busy building his kingdom. Again, I'm not trying to summarize everywhere that you are. I'm not trying to put every single person in this room into one box. But I would guess that many of us, where we are, is busy building our own kingdom. We're busy, busy, busy building our kingdom. And where it is that God makes very clear that he wants us is busy building his kingdom. Oh, the purpose, the rest, the joy it is to build God's kingdom. And oh, the toil and pain and unrest it is to build our kingdom. He tells Abram, go. He says, I will give you a land. I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you. I will bless the whole world through you. So where is it that we are going in this text this morning? And we're going to talk about three things. We're going to talk about the going, the destination, because the destination matters. The destination matters. What does it mean to be blessed? What does it mean to have a destination that is God's kingdom, not our own? We're going to talk about the person. Why are we talking about Abram? And then we're going to talk about the promise that God has for us. Ben Stewart says, what you think about will be what you care about. What you care about, you will chase. What you think about will be what you care about. What you care about, you will chase. You may have heard people say something like, it's about the friends you make along the way. Is that the thing you care about? Is that the thing you chase? It doesn't matter if you get there as long as you had fun. I have to admit to y'all, this sums up my personality pretty darn well. It's the thing that I wrestle against professionally, but also spiritually and personally. That God is intentional. He has a design. He has a purpose. He created me with a purpose and with intent. It's not just about the fun I had along the way. I used to have a boss that would say, Max, you could plan a trip to Six Flags, and if nobody got there but you had fun, it would be a success. And it's so true. Like, I could literally be like, guys, coming up next week, we're going to Six Flags. Everybody loads up in a bus. We all head out. No one ever goes to Six Flags, but as everybody's coming off the bus, they're like, that was great. I would be like, win. We did it. We had a blast. This makes so much sense to me, this idea, this notion, but when you think about it, you realize how ridiculous it is that the destination wouldn't matter. It's not true. The destination absolutely matters. If you took two groups of friends and one formed deep relationships, overcame obstacles, created great inside jokes, shared sweet moments of deep connection, all while on mission to convince people who wear Crocs that they must wear socks when they do so. I love Crocs. Socks or no socks. And then you took a second group of people who formed deep relationships, overcame obstacles, created awesome inside jokes, and shared sweet moments of deep connection, all while providing a life-saving medical attention to children in need. I think all of us would agree that one is better than the other. The experiences are the same, but the destination is different. So many of us are chasing money as a destination, chasing success as a destination, popularity, or even just the next exciting thing as a destination, as our destination. And we look up and we realize how far we are from where God wants us to be. It's like a child having so much fun in the ocean water that's 2 feet in front of them that they didn't realize how far the current was taking them away. Lately, the space where I see this happen the most in our church, even our campus, is community. It matters to us. Like, community is an important part of our church, Grace Community Church. Worship, mission, community. Community matters to us. But I've noticed that it's very easy for us to make friendship the final destination, to look up and discover that what we have is a group of parent friends or a dinner club or a weekly basketball game or running group or maybe just a feeling of being less alone. But we're not making disciples, and nothing that we're doing has to do with Jesus or his heart for the lost. We don't have a destination in mind that is God's kingdom and what it is that God came on earth to do. And we have a destination in mind that is our kingdom and what we want done, what we want to build, what would make us happy. Where we are is busy building our kingdom, and where he wants us is busy building his kingdom. Maybe God wants to take you this morning from somewhere that you are busy building your kingdom to where he wants you busy building his kingdom. What an amazing invitation we have to build his kingdom. And it's the only kingdom that matters. It's the only kingdom that matters. It's not just that some destinations are better than others, but it's also what happens to us when we have no destination at all. When I was 16 years old, I was on my way to a birthday party, and I was, this is shocking, early, and I had some time to kill. So I had a pickup truck, and I knew of an old dirt road that went down next to some train tracks that I'd never figured out where it went, and I thought, you know what, I got nothing better to do. I'm gonna hop on this dirt road and drive. And I did, for about 5 minutes. It led me absolutely nowhere. And I realized if I don't turn around here soon, I'm going to be late for the birthday party. So I did what I'd learned in driving school, a professional three-point turn. It was a little tight, so I had to go over the train tracks just slightly. Don't panic. But when I pressed the gas pedal after my second point of the turn, it was like I slammed into an invisible wall. And I immediately was like, what was that? So I put it in reverse, backed up a little bit, slammed into the invisible wall again, put it in park, got out, made sure there was no actual wall. There wasn't. It truly was invisible. Got back in, tried one more time, and decided that maybe if I just press the gas pedal all the way to the floor, we'll get out of this thing, head to the birthday party, everything will be fine. Well, I dug my tires deep, deep, deep into a hole of gravel. I put it in park, got out, went around to the back of my truck, and realized that my trailer hitch was catching on the train tracks. So there was a wall. It was these train tracks, and my truck was literally trying to, like, pull the train tracks off the ground, and I was not winning. The train tracks were winning. So I took the trailer hitch off, put it back in drive, and pressed the gas pedal, but my tires were so deep that I was now stuck on the train tracks. Well, of course, I panicked. I, like, absolutely, totally, completely panicked. Dug the tires a little bit deeper, and then ended up calling my brother, who came out with our white T100 that I still drive today, hooked up the Tundra, my pickup truck, and pulled me out. We burned the clutch on that car so bad. Like, you could just smell it for days. You could smell the T100 clutch. I think when I think about this moment of me going down a road with no destination in mind, I think that it mirrors what we do a lot as people. We have a little bit of fun. We waste a little bit of time. We get ourselves a little bit stuck. We panic. We get ourselves a little more stuck. And then we call out for help. And we do it over and over and over again. It's a pattern of our life when we have no destination in mind. We waste a little time, we have a little fun. We get a little stuck, we panic, we get a little more stuck. We dig ourselves into a deeper hole, and then we cry out for help. God has something truly better for us. He has something truly better for us. Some of us are just at the start of this long road of wasting time. But some of us are very, very deep down into a hole in a moment of calling out and crying out to God. He hears you. And it doesn't matter where you are today, God has somewhere that He wants to bring you. God has somewhere that He wants to take you. Everyone in this room can tell you what they are doing, but not many can tell you why they do it. I can say I agree with that. I can oftentimes tell you what it is I'm doing, but very often I can't tell you why it is that I'm doing it. God has invited us to build His kingdom, and His kingdom is filled with purpose. Filled with purpose. The process of building His kingdom is filled with blessing. But if we think that that blessing means, pay attention to this because the destination matters. If we think that that blessing means that He makes a donation to our kingdom building fund, or that He will make sure that King Max is happy on his throne, then we might find ourselves wondering if God is really listening to us. We might find ourselves wondering, does God really care? Because the destination that we have in mind is our kingdom. And we are busy, busy, busy building our kingdom. God is moving. God is sending. God is calling us to follow him. And there is a blessing that comes from following him. But the destination is not our kingdom. The destination is his. The main point of what I'm trying to say with destination is not that your desires are wrong and your destination is wrong. The main point is this. You were created to build his kingdom, and your desires are fulfilled in him and his mission. You were created to build his kingdom, and your desires are fulfilled in him and in his mission. We just came out of a text last week that was filled with people who were attempting to build their own little kingdoms. They were going in the wrong direction, headed east, building something that looked good on the outside but was meaningless, a tower. And it ultimately left them confused. When we get to Abram at the end of chapter 11, we encounter a person, a real person. What each of you is, a real person with a real story, with a real set of circumstances. And Abram is a washed up 75-year-old dude that the book of Joshua tells us is worshiping his father's gods. He's worshiping little wooden statues, and God is saying that he's going to make him a great nation. Abram looks around, me? Checks the birth certificate, yeah, still 75. Looks at his spouse, a wife who is barren. And then we read something beautiful in verse 4. Look at it with me. Verse 4 says, so Abram went. He went as the Lord had told him. The Lord said to Abram, go. And he went. Is it really that simple? The Lord tells us to go, that he has somewhere that we are right now today and somewhere else that he wants us to be, and he's asking us to go, and we just need to go? Abram is just a person who is sinful, a person who is broken, a person with plenty of questions for God. I'm 75, my wife is barren, I'm an idol worshiper. Me? You want me to go? And then he does. And all throughout the Bible, all throughout the New Testament, Abram is made an example of. He's presented to us as a model for how to live our life. In Galatians 3 and in Romans 4, Abram believed in God and it was credited to him as righteousness. James uses Abram as an example of someone who can change. Faith should change you like Abram. Hebrews uses Abram as a great picture of perseverance. And he's not just a model for how we live, but he's also the father of this nation of people that we are a part of today. When we believe in the same message that Abram believed, we become sons and daughters of Father Abraham, who had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. Let's just praise the Lord. Right arm, left arm. He is a model. Abram is a model of how we can behave, but also a model of how we can believe. As people, as persons, Abram sets up for us a model of how we can behave, but also a model of how we can believe. And look what Genesis says. Let's go back to the text. Abram, this person that we just came out of chapter 11 talking about, the Lord said to him, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went as the Lord had told him. Abram went as the Lord had told him. I know that as you sit here in this room, as a person and as a broken person, myself included, that you can tell me what it is that you're doing, but I would guess it's going to be very hard. It's going to be a challenging question to answer why you are doing it. What is the destination of what it is that you're doing? And do you know that God wants to use you no matter your situation? Do you know that? Do you see how he used Abram? I don't know what excuse is in your head to not go. I don't know what your yeah, but dada thing is. I don't know what it is, but do you know that God wants to use you no matter your situation? And I know that it's scary because I'm a person too. I know that our fear leads us to build some really intense kingdoms. I have quite a few really intense kingdoms that I have built in my life. But God has a blessing for you that probably starts, pay attention to this, he has a blessing for you that probably starts with you tearing your kingdom down. God has a blessing for you, but it probably starts with you tearing your kingdom down. That might not sound like a blessing to us, but it's not our blessing. It's his. It's not our blessing, it's his. And it's his promise that he's making to us. We are a people with a destination that God has given a promise. He does care about you. He loves you. What if God loving you is not just a nice thing that we say, but it's a promise? Have you ever thought about that? God loves you is not just his kindness, it's his promise. God loves you. God loves you. That's not just something nice that we say from the stage. It's a promise that he's making. It's a promise that God has kept, is keeping, and will keep. He loves you. Often we find ourselves looking for the proof of things, and a promise is a kind of IOU for the proof of what we're looking for. Problem is, our promises, you and me, are not much proof at all. This doesn't stop us from making promises all the time, right? Rarely do they start with the words, I promise, unless you really don't trust somebody. But think about it this way. We're in the commons after church, and I say, see you tomorrow. Now, it'd be weird if you turned around and said, you promise? You probably would say that because you really don't believe me, right? But I'm making you a promise. See you tomorrow. Or we say, it'll get better. It'll get better. You're going to be okay. I'm not going anywhere. Truth is, broken people have broken so many promises that we end up looking for proof and evidence of the lie more than we look for proof of the truth. As broken people, we have broken so many promises and had so many promises broken to us that we end up being people who look for the proof and evidence of the lie that's coming more than we look for the proof of the truth. And God keeps his promises. He keeps his promises. And when you go through trials, you are no less blessed than you were before it. He keeps his promises, and he invites you to look at the proof. He invites you to read the Old and New Testament. He invites you to follow the storyline of God and look at the Bible and the proof of his love for you. The love that he said he would give, the promises that he kept with his covenant, the sending of Jesus to die on the cross for your sin and mine, the promise he's keeping still today, and the promise that he has given us for his coming back. God's promises are always true, and his fulfilled promises are proof that when he says he will do something, he does it. Oftentimes we want God to make us a promise that he just doesn't offer. We want promises about how life will go, when it will end. We go looking for the proof of a promise that we assume that God would make. But his nature is different than ours, and the kingdom that he is building is different than the one that we want to build. His love has a destination in mind that is beyond what we can see, but his love for us is a promise that he has kept, is keeping, and will keep. Look back at the text. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went as the Lord had told him. God is asking Abram to do the opposite of build his own kingdom. So often we want to be busy building our kingdom, but God says to Abram, go from your country, from your kindred, and your father's house. Go. Go from the kingdom that you want to build and build my kingdom. Build the kingdom that I have planned. He kept that promise to Abram, and this is beautiful. You in this room, you're proof of that today. You can look to your left and right, the family of God in Tyler, Texas, today in this room is proof of a God who keeps his promises. This is so important that we do this, that you see that God who promised to make a great nation is making a great nation. And he's calling us as his people to go. But we doubt. Gosh, we are filled with so much doubt. And Romans 8:32 meets us and says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? He has kept his promise. Through Jesus, he is keeping that promise today. And he also fulfills that promise. He will fulfill that promise in Revelation 7. He promises that he's coming back, and he tells us in Revelation 7 of that promise being fulfilled. The blessing that we are promised is the nearness of God. The blessing that we are promised is the nearness of God and his kingdom come. The blessings we want oftentimes look different, but the one that we are promised is his nearness to us. Jesus was cursed when he hung on a cross and said, my God, why have you forsaken me? When God turns his face from Jesus. He turns his face and Jesus is cursed so that we can have the blessing of a relationship with God and an invitation to his mission to build his kingdom. It's not about you. And if the kingdom that you're building is not about God and his glory, then you are wasting your time. You can chase your little kingdom, or you can be a part of building God's kingdom. And God's kingdom has a purpose, and it has a promise, and he wants to use every single one of the people in this room. Number 6 says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. God, we love you. And God, we thank you for loving us. God, we confess that we are busy building our kingdom a lot of the time. But God, we want to build your kingdom. We want our life and what we do to not have an end destination in mind that is about us and about our kingdom. But God, we want to keep the destination in mind that is your kingdom and eternity with you. God, would you use that in this room to take us from where we are right now to where you want us to be? Would you move us towards the lost? God, would you take us to the places where you want to go? God, would you help us to not be people that are just busy building our own kingdom? God, but would we be people that are surrendered and submitted to build your kingdom, to be sent by you, to follow you, to move, to go in a way that brings you honor and glory? God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for sending him to die on the cross for our sins that he came near. And God, that through faith in him, you've invited us to be in a relationship with you. The blessing that you offer is your nearness and the invitation to build your kingdom. And God, we are so grateful. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.